My name is Heath, lead pastor here at Reach, and we're starting a new series today called Shepherd. Like, and I keep pitching this every time we do a new series. Like, that's a beautiful graphic, right? I did that. But I'd prefer not to do it. So if there are any latent graphic designers in here that just feel like they want to, you know, jump in, you know, just saying. Anyway, it's like just no takers. Okay. Anyway, I'll just keep doing it. We just finished our series last week called Re, with this idea that, you know, God wants us to Re is the prefix that goes on the beginning of words that means again and again. And so, like, January is a great season for us to remember again who God is and what God's doing and what God wants in us and through us. And so right now, we're going to do the next 4 weeks of a series called Shepherd, Lead Me. And I didn't realize that I had spelled shepherd. This is spelled correctly, but I had spelled it incorrectly for a period of time. But that is correct. Scared me. I thought it was wrong. But anyway, I don't spell very well if it's your first Sunday here. Only thing I put up there is scripture that came out of a program, so I never have any misspells up here, but I found one in my notes that you won't see. But anyway. So the idea behind this is that God is the Good Shepherd. In the first 2 weeks of the series, we're going to talk about that idea because I want to build that in us, that God is good. God is the Good Shepherd, and the Shepherd leads us into places that are going to benefit us, make us healthy, and grow us. He is going to protect us and care for us, and He has a plan for our future. And so if we can get that over the first 2 weeks, the last 2 weeks is going to be a stretch because everybody wants to be loved on. Everybody, well, we say we want to be led until it actually gets to the point of someone leading us and us having to follow. But the idea of God leading us is phenomenal. And the last 2 weeks of the series, we're going to talk about the idea that God has called us to be shepherds. And that's a whole nother ballgame. And I know, you know, shepherd is also another term that they'll use for pastor. And some of you are like, I didn't sign up to be a pastor. Well, you did. The day, well, you might not have yet, but the day you say yes to Jesus, you say yes to being a shepherd. Because His great commission, His great commandment is for us to make disciples. Not the church necessarily, not Heath specifically, but for His children to make disciples. And that means that we have to shepherd people. So don't even worry about that right now. So, like, don't even worry about, I mean, some people are going to start getting anxious about the last 2 weeks. Well, He's going to make me do things that are uncomfortable. Yes. But the first 2 weeks, I want to build you up. So that's what we're going to do. And before I get started, I'm going to give you a run through of Luke 9. It's not what we're going to talk about, not Luke, John 9. And then we're going to be in John 10, verses 1 through 18, if you want to get in your Bibles to that place. I'm going to be reading out of the ESV. But I've got to, in researching this, if you leave out chapter 9, you kind of miss why He's doing what He's doing. But before we get into the Word, let's pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are just grateful that right now, Lord, we have the ability to live and breathe. And Lord, if we're living and breathing right now, You have purpose and destiny for us. And Lord, we want to witness Your goodness. We want to experience You as a loving shepherd. And Lord, we want all of it. We want You to lead us into places that are going to give us life. And that means that we have to trust You. And Lord, the beginning of that is trusting Your Word. And so, Lord, as we go to Your Word, as we look at Your interactions, not only with in John 9, where we're going to talk about the man born blind, but literally, Lord, You're going to describe Yourself as the shepherd. This is not an idea that we've invented. This is You declaring who You are. And so, Lord, let us trust and believe that You are good. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So in Luke 9, this kind of story happens. And this is Jesus. Jesus did not, and He did, because He listened to the Father, did exactly what the Father told Him. But there weren't like a program. Like, if we have a program that we're going to do outreach, like there, and we have a plan and we do this. Like Jesus had a plan. He didn't really tell his disciples all the time, but he had a plan. He had a purpose. And Jesus walking down the road, and you know, I love how he just lets things happen. So they walk by this blind man who has been blind from birth, and in which we don't necessarily think this, but we kind of do when it's our life and things are bad that are happening. We're like, what do we do? Like, what do we do wrong? And we're being punished. In the Jewish culture, if something happened to you, and if you had an illness, or you know, something bad happened to you, like you were born blind, the idea is that someone sinned, and then the result of that sin caused whatever happened. And so they walk by this man born blind and weren't necessarily worried about his condition. They wanted a lesson. They're like, Jesus, who sinned and caused this man to be born blind? Was it his parents or was it him? And Jesus has the famous line that's like, no one, that he is blind right now so that he would give glory to God. And in that moment, he stands him up. And I love Jesus. Like, we're a pattern following people. Like, if Jesus healed every single person the same way, like if he did it like he did with this young man, we would like have little troughs of dirt that we'd bring in every week and be like, oh, you've got an ailment, back hurts. Come here, buddy. Let me rub this on your back. I mean, we would. Like, we do that. Like, we look for anything, and we're thinking, like, we don't have the mud. We can't heal him. Hurry, go outside. No. So Jesus spits in some mud, and he wipes it on this guy's eyes, and he says, hey, go to wash, and you'll be healed. And this is a person who has used his infirmity for the only thing that he could do was begging. And he was in a specific spot, and people knew who he was, and all of a sudden he could see. And they take him before the synagogue, and everybody's afraid of the synagogue because there's this new thing going on with Jesus. And they come in, and they question him. Well, who healed you? How did he heal you? Well, he did this, and he did that, and it was Jesus, and blah, 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 And their issue wasn't, and this was kind of a symbol, really, of Jesus declaring who he was, that the blind would receive sight. And they're questioning, well, how did it happen? And this happened on the Sabbath. And so their issue isn't necessarily who Jesus is declaring he is through the action, but they're angry that he broke the Sabbath. Even in the dialogue, they were like, well, he couldn't be a good man because he did this on the Sabbath. And so, like, he has all of this and leads them to go, like, you're blind. And so at one point during the conversation, they don't necessarily trust that this man was born blind, so they bring in his parents. His parents were afraid of the synagogue. They were afraid of the religious leaders, and they're like, here's what we know. He is our son. He was born blind, but he's old enough. He can talk to you. Like, they weren't proclaiming anything, just the facts. That is our boy. He was born blind. How he was healed, we don't know. He's old enough. Twice they say he's old enough to tell you. And so they back away, and during his questioning, you know, he gets just a boldness over him. He was like, oh, are you wanting to be his disciples? They didn't like that, and they called him names and said, you know, they wanted him to verbally say, this man is a sinner. And he's like, I don't know if he's a sinner or not, but I do know that I was blind, and now I'm not. And he goes on and gives them a little lesson, and he's like, God doesn't listen to sinners. And God listened to this man, and now I'm blind. I mean, now I am not blind. I can see. And they got angry. They threw him out of the synagogue. And on the outside, Jesus has a conversation with him. And he was like, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he was like, tell me who he is, and then yes, I will. And Jesus said, that's me, and I believe. And like, this whole conversation was about their blindness. And so these same people who just questioned and are who angry at Jesus gets ready to have a conversation about them, but in a story. And he uses what we're going to go through verse by verse in John 10 to talk about their blindness. Because he was like, the danger is that you have eyes, but you don't see. Meaning that, like, what they had prepared their whole life to experience, which was the Messiah coming, they missed completely. They were blind to Jesus. And so here's Jesus going to teach them through the story. And then we start in John 10, verse 1, and we're going to go through 18. In verse 10, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep." And I love, like, Jesus forever, like, because he's insulting. I mean, he's talking about the Pharisees right now. So right now, in this moment, which they don't really get it, and he's going to explain a little bit more, is Jesus is going to declare, "I'm the entrance in and out of for the sheep, me. And anybody that came around me is a thief and a robber," which he's referring to the religious leaders of the day. They were the ones who were supposed to be shepherding people into the presence of God, and they missed it. In verse 3, it says, "To him the gatekeeper opens," meaning Jesus, "the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger." This is a figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying. See, the true shepherd, the true leader of the people of God, had made an entry into the world, in the flesh. And he was there to declare that "I am the good shepherd." Later on in the Gospels, he has this conversations with the Pharisees that they heap on all of this stuff on the people, but do nothing to rescue them from themselves. They give them law, and they tell them what they can't do, and they tell them how impure they are, but they do nothing in and of themselves to rescue and redeem the people. They weren't shepherding, they weren't leading. And so knowing his voice is important. And we've been talking about over the last month and getting people getting in a reading plan and getting into the Word, because in our generation right now, the clearest way to hear the voice of God is his Word. Because I believe that God still speaks today. But he does not speak to you contrary to what is already declared to us in his Word. Since that is the fact, then we have to know his Word, so that if we, you know, have bad pepperoni one night and we just feel like the voice of the Lord shone around me and he told me, because God has told lots of crazy people to do crazy things that God didn't tell them to do. And so we have to attune ourselves that we can hear his voice. And the cool thing over the last month, having conversations with people in our church and, you know, people that were fasting and kind of separating themselves and attuning themselves even more so to the voice of God, that they, during that period of time, why we, you know, talked about remaining last week because we want to stay there, is that the voice becomes clearer. Like, the closer we get to God, and the more we stop allowing things to distract us from his beauty and his presence, the easier it is for us to hear. Because, just like Jesus just said, we have to know his voice. Like, we cannot go where God's called us to go. We cannot follow him without hearing the voice. In verse 7 it says, "And Jesus said..." And Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you," and he's getting clearer here. Before, he's like, you know, okay. And it's kind of like a conversation, and a lot of times, even his disciples, you know, I think I would be a great disciple because I would appear to be smart, like they appeared to be smart, and then when we got alone with Jesus, I'd be like, "Jesus, I didn't understand what you were saying. I was afraid to ask you, but, like, could you now explain it?" Like, I love that. Like, I love that Jesus is like, okay. You know, sometimes he did get frustrated with them, but for the most part, he let them in. And so he's getting a little bit clearer and clearer. He's truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. See, and I don't want to talk about Psalms 23 because right now, I believe next week I'm going to spend a fair amount of time talking about it. But sheep need a shepherd. Like, I was reading an article and it was actually talking, and I forget where the location was, but they had a hard frost and then a ton of snow, and like thousands of sheep died because they didn't have access. They weren't made to live in a pen and be fed. They were made to graze, but they in and of themselves, you know, they're just, I know I talked about sheep not being smart one time, and somebody sent me a video of someone training sheep to do certain things. So they're not the dumbest animals in the world, but they're not the smartest either. They need a shepherd. Like they need someone that's going to lead them into the place that's going to get them to the pasture so they can have the food, that's going to make sure that they're at a place that they're going to get water, that is going to protect them. I mean, literally, King David, who we admire, became the mighty warrior that he was guarding the sheep. Like, that's the shepherd. Like, his whole job and life was to make sure the sheep got what they needed and not what they wanted. That he would take them into the places, he'd make sure that they'd get water, and he would stay awake at night keeping the animals that wanted to come in and kill the sheep. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Our issue today is that we hear the thief more than we hear anything else. I mean, every time we turn on the radio, every time we turn on our TV, every time you scroll down Facebook, just saying, I'm still not really on, but like just last night, I went on for just a little bit and I just get frustrated at Facebook. Not Facebook itself, but the people on Facebook. But there's lies. I mean, you just don't know what to believe. There's so much stuff that's being bombarded, and it's all trying to rob us of our joy. And here, Jesus, he's saying, hey, I'm the good shepherd, and that I came that you can have life and have it abundantly. And the truth is, if you aren't having that life and it isn't in abundance, then something's broken, and then something is missing from that. And most always, it's our ability to follow. The shepherd is always there, and he will go after us. He will leave the 99 and will chase after that one lost sheep. But in his care, life is good. And I don't mean perfect. I am not a health, wealth, and prosperity preacher. Like, I will never from this pulpit tell you if you say yes to Jesus, your bank account's going to rise. Now, you can take financial peace and get your finances in order, and it will help you have money in the bank and pay your bills. But God does not guarantee us anything but an abundant, joy-filled life. And you can have that, and Paul proves it while in prison, saying that I've learned to be content in all things. Like, our joy and our peace is not dependent on things that are around us. In verse 11, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for sheep. See, they don't even fully, like, we get to appreciate verse 11 in hindsight of what Jesus did. At this point, Jesus had not gone to the cross. They did not know, and I mean, this is why I think, have mercy. Like, if you're a disciple of Jesus, he has mercy for you. His disciples didn't get it. They ran away. One of them ran away with no clothes on. Like, they grabbed his cloak, and he's like, I'm out of here. Like, I am not staying around. And Jesus came back and he gathered them in and gave them the Holy Spirit and sent them out. Verse 12 says, "He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me." See, he's still talking about the shepherds of his day. Like, they're a hired hand. They're literally people that are earning a wage to fulfill their duties, but not doing what God called them to do. But Jesus isn't that person. And our transition is God is making us into that same person. Like, God is going to put in us, like, how do we sacrifice our life? How do, you know, look, the 12 people that are in Haiti right now, like, Haiti is hot right now. Like, 38 degrees this morning, not in Haiti. And Haiti has gone through so much stuff, from earthquakes to hurricanes, I mean, everything that you can imagine, and their comfort and, you know, their security. I mean, they had to take, like, typhoid shots and Hep A and Hep B and take malaria pills. I mean, there are so many things that are coming against them potentially there. And God is in the midst of caring for a people through a people that paid to go care for them. Like, he's giving them a heart, just like he's given us a heart, to shepherd his kids. Like, they're going to go down there and they're going to have the best time of their life working harder than they work here. Because they're going to get a glimpse into who God is by serving. Like, we get to experience God by becoming his hands and feet. And we get to begin to be the people that look past the dirty, smelly sheep and look into the lens of God going, "These are my children." Verse 15 says, "Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." And this is beautiful. This is us. 16 is, I mean, unless you were born into the Jewish lineage, 16 is a verse for us to celebrate. You should memorize it. It says, "I have other sheep that are not of this fold." Because up until this point, even when he sent out his 12 to do miraculous things, he said, hey, only go to the Jews. Like, only go to the children of God. Don't go into Samaria, don't go into these other places, just the family. And he's foreshadowing, like, hey, there are sheep that aren't in this fold, because even the shepherds of that day, the Pharisees, like, it is in the family. And if you're not in the family, you're not in the family. And here's Jesus going, "I have other sheep that are not his, that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice." We are sitting in this room, potentially. I'm not saying everybody in here is in this position, but most of us in this room right now, we're not of the lineage of God, meaning we weren't, technically we are, okay? But we aren't in that, and we listened to his voice. And you know your story better than anyone else. Even if you grew up in church, like, you knew the story of when God, his voice became real to you. Like, he began to, like, just open your eyes in your experience, and it changed you. And so that same voice that changed you has the capacity to change every single person that we encounter. See, God wasn't afraid even of people that were against him. Like, Paul was a persecutor of the church. like literally stood in agreement as they stoned Stephen. Stood there. Asked. They didn't send him out like, hey, we need you to do this. He went. He was like, can you give me papers so I can go into another city and destroy the way? And Paul said, mm-mm. I mean, not Paul. Paul did say, uh-huh. But Jesus said, nah, you mine. You're my voice to the other flock. Like, it's not, like, that's the beauty of once we agree to listen and be like the shepherd is that he speaks. That's why we have to get his word in us. Our most powerful weapon is not our logic, is not our brain, it's his word. Like Jesus, when he was challenged during his 40 days of fasting, all he did was quote the word of God. And I'm not talking about like, you can memorize a bunch of scripture and just throw it out there, but like, literally believe that word. And I've been challenged this week. I'm still working on my memory verses. I was challenged with somebody close to me. I'll leave them unnamed. That, you know, it's one thing to memorize a verse. It's another thing to do what the verse says. It's another thing when you read about the fruits of the Spirit and go, like, gentleness and all these other things, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, like, and go, yes, I've memorized that, but if we aren't letting that word in us, meaning the fruit of the Spirit are these things, then it's dangerous. See, God wants to give us his voice so that we can be one flock. He says, so there will be one flock and one shepherd. Verse 17, it says, and for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me. I think one of my favorite, if you ever saw The Passion of the Christ, which is a brutal movie about what happened to Jesus. But there, I think it's in Luke, Pontius Pilate is like trying to like save Jesus. And he comes to Jesus and he's like, you know, just tell me so I can let you go. Like, just give me a way that I just refute what they're saying and I'll let you go. And he's like, you have no power other than what the Father has given you. Like, he willingly went to the cross. He was not trapped. I mean, I think for a long time I was angry at all the people that led Jesus to the cross and took this innocent man. He willingly, there was no way around what he had decided to do. And he's talking about it here in this parable, talking about a sheep and a shepherd. And I will lay down my life. In verse 18 it says, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. And I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. See, right now, the beauty of the gospel is that God didn't just take away all your mess. Like, it would be one thing if God just came down and he touched you and healed you, just like he did the blind man in John 9. He took away your blindness and he gave you sight and then he left. Like, he came back to the blind man and said, do you know the Son of God? And he was like, tell me who he is. And that reference, Son of God, like, we don't think about that, but that was a disclaimer. Do you know the Messiah? And there in that moment, God was, through Jesus, was telling this young man that your sight isn't what you really want. See, God didn't just come so that we could feel better about ourselves. God came so that he could lead us into life. And that being said, we talked about, I'm the vine, you are the branches, any man remains in me, and I in him will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We talked about that last week. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Like, if you're struggling right now, you're struggling because you're not listening to the voice of God. You're not allowing him to lead you. You're not allowing him to be your shepherd. Because we can't do it by ourselves. Like, I can't do it by myself. Like, just, and I'm glad we don't have a stage, and when we have a building, I still may be on the floor because Like, I think it's dangerous when you start looking at people and they're like, they're up there and you think they're, like, look, if I'm not listening to the shepherd, I'm in as much trouble, even more so, because I'm judged even more harshly than everybody else because I'm a proclaimer of the gospel, a pastor. But I have to, just like you, choose to listen. But that has to be at the root that God is a good shepherd. And that means that where he leads you, where he is taking you, is for your benefit. Romans 8:28, all things happen for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. All things. Like, if you're dealing with depression right now, if you're going through a tough financial season, if the world is crushing in around you, God is using all things sometimes just to lead you back to his grace. It's never, never. God is not a malicious father. Maybe like your father, maybe like me at times, it's harsh and it's angry because, you know, your children interrupt what you want to do. He's not like that. He is literally right now declaring through his word that I am the good shepherd. I know I keep pointing at me. I don't mean to do that. I'm like, I want to be a good shepherd. But Jesus is telling you right now, your fix to everything is following Jesus. Your response, and really the only real response that you can do that do any benefit to you and your life, to you can have this life to the full, is listening to the Father's voice and let him lead you to life. I mean, I would encourage you this week, spend some time, like, and I know it's like the funeral verse, like Psalms 23, like you go to a funeral, you're going to hear it read, but like, listen to it. That he leads you by streams of water. I mean, like, he takes you into pastures. You know, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Like, that's because we're with the shepherd. I'm going to invite our worship team to come back up. And we just want to spend a few minutes. We always have a song at the end. It's not because, like, that's the pattern you do. You can do a couple songs at the beginning. You have some guy come up and speak for probably longer than he should. And then we throw a song at the end. The song here at the end is for you. Not for us just to sing, but literally in this moment of, like, are you allowing God to lead you? Are you submitting to God being your shepherd? Not the, I know it's like fun to say like God is a shepherd, but your shepherd. Jesus asked his people, his disciples, because there was all these rumors like, who am I? And they were like, well, some say you're John the Baptist, been raised from the dead, which is weird because they existed at the same time. Let's, you know, some say that you're Elijah and some say that you're a prophet. And Jesus said, you know, forget what everybody else says. And he looked at them and he says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter says that you are the Christ. It doesn't matter what I say Jesus is. It doesn't matter what this church says Jesus is. The only thing that matters right now in this moment is who do you say Jesus is? Because if he is the Messiah, then we don't get to not have a Savior without a king. We don't get Savior Jesus without King Jesus. And a king leads just like a shepherd. And so wherever you find yourself this morning, like, there is hope. Like, my prayer isn't that this is putting pressure on you, that making you feel worse about yourself. My hope is that this word is encouraging you, that God is the good shepherd, and in that, he wants to lead you to a place that's going to be more beneficial. And here's the beauty, is that when God heals you, restores you, leads you, it always benefits those that are around you. If you're married, the best thing for your spouse is Jesus. If you have children, the best thing for your children is Jesus. If you work, the best thing for your coworkers and your boss and those under you is Jesus. And if you drive on these roads, the best thing for you is Jesus. I know sometimes it feels like.
the enemies on the road. He just come to steal, kill, and destroy your joy on the way to work. But he hasn't. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. If you're struggling there, change it. There's groups, and I know we're only doing a sign-up right now for financial peace, but there's other groups that are going on, and if you want to get plugged in to one, find me afterwards. I'll tell you what days that we're meeting, and you can get plugged into some this week. Sheep also have to trust that voice when they hear it. So when you read something hard, you know, Matthew talks about, like, if something causes you to sin, cut it off. And, okay, like, just disclaimer. Like, I don't want to have all our guys come in with no eyeballs next week. Please do not remove any organs from your body. But the truth of that scripture is that you'll do whatever is necessary to make your life obedient to Jesus. And the sheep have to follow. If you're leading the way and you're not following, you're in danger of getting somewhere that there isn't the protection, there isn't the security, there isn't the pasture, there isn't the joy and the peace and the patience and the kindness. But the beauty is, no matter how far you get away, God the Father, by his own story, is willing to leave all the others and pursue you. And so this morning, your response is choosing to follow, choosing to listen, choosing to trust. And if you don't know Jesus, here's the simplest gospel presentation for you. Is that you're broken. I'm broken. If you're living and breathing right now, you're broken. Jesus, knowing that you're broken and knowing that you could never fix your brokenness, came and did what you could not do. He put on flesh. He lived a life for 33 years where he did not sin. He did everything that you were supposed to do but cannot, and then willingly went to the cross and paid the penalty for your sin with his blood. And his call to us is to trust and believe in that sacrifice. And so if you are here this morning and you've not said yes to Jesus, it's easy to begin. It's difficult to continue. But it's easy to start. And we would love to help you continue. That's what our community groups are for. That's what our studies are for. That's what our church service is for. And so I'm going to pray, and we're going to have people that will be here right at the end of worship. So if you've got stuff that's going on and you just need someone to stand with you and life is rough, there's going to be people that would love to pray, would love to, in agreement, stand with you. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you that, Lord, you knew that we were sheep in need of a shepherd. And Lord, you put on skin and showed how good of a shepherd you are. Showed how good of a Savior you are. And so Lord, as we worship you in this last song, Lord, I pray that our heart would be, that our ears would hear you, and that our minds and hearts would trust you, and that we would be obedient to follow wherever you call. So, Lord, thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love for us, your children. In Jesus' name, amen.